Here's the whistle. Go, go, go. Second half, my three subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Joining us on the podcast today is the head coach of USL Championship side and friend of the podcast. We say hello to Tim Mulqueen. Hey, Coach Mulch.
Yeah. Hello, doing? Tim. Hello, Brody. It's great to be back with you guys. Hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah. Listen to that pep in that voice.
I know, man. That's a man who's ready.
He is ready. And, of course, you know, last week the USL looking at a projected start date of July 11th. You know, but let's talk about definites, because I know there's a lot of details work out. They probably have scientists at NASA down at Cape Canaveral working out the permutations. But let's talk about the definites here. And, of course, let's go back chronologically. I know really the biggest thing I've done during the break is stain the deck in my backyard. Yeah. Brody's had a third child. What about you, Coach?
Well, I mean, we tried to stay busy. Myself, Ben, and Tim Howard participated in a League Managers Association course from England, which kept us, learning about our craft and pushing to see what we could implement from that with our club.
That's cool.
We had Zoom calls with players. We started to prepare for, you know, what could be a comeback and how we would approach, you know, different training scenarios. We had interviews with players about their position, roles within the team. So we kept active. Mm-hmm. But again, we were just trying to make things, feel as normal as possible. But, you know, without being together, about being on the pitch, you know, we took it about as far as we could go. Mm-hmm.
And it started in a very basic fashion. I know that you had essentially the players training on an individual basis because of the different situations with the lockdown, not just across the country, but here specifically in the Memphis area. And you had kind of an oversight there and through Zoom calls. But as time has gone by, we've seen things evolve into where you can have more of a one-on-one and more of a personal hands-on approach with the team. Can you talk about that transition from very beginning of where we got locked down to where you start to now be able to have hands-on with the club?
Yeah. So we were locked down March 11th. Our only contact with the players was via Zoom all the way through till about 3 weeks ago. And then we were allowed by USL, according to your state and city municipalities and their guidelines, we were able to have individualized training. But how that would work is the players had to be separated in different quadrants. They had to have their own ball, their own set of cones, their own water bottle, their own gear. And we were allowed to have a total of 9 people at the premises at a time. So that involved 7 players, myself and or Ben and Angie, our trainer.
Right.
So that was exciting to get the guys back. There was no interaction in terms of passing back and forth,
right.
no contact, social distanced, but it was great. Our ownership group did a great job of lining our field in quadrants to make sure everybody was safe. We had the dugouts split up into different areas so that the players were socially distant. And then we all wore masks, not the players participating, but the staff did. And then we literally cleaned every piece of equipment after every session and then before the next. So we knew at that point that if we were going to have an opportunity to possibly come back, we had to get that first step right. And we had great guidance from Craig Unger and Tim Howard on deck to make sure we were doing that. And then last week, at the end of last week, the USL allowed for small group training. So we are able to split our group into 2 teams, 2 groups of 10. Keeping guys can now pass together. They can't have any contact, but we can do more things, patterns to goal, passing and receiving, movements, fitness. So yesterday was our first day doing that, and it was tremendous. But again, we're very, very strict. No fist bumping, no high fives, no hugs, no handshakes.
From a distance.
Yeah, but we're so thankful just to have that.
Right.
So it's been great. And again, I can't stress enough the leadership that we got from Tim and Craig during this whole thing that allowed us to get to this point. So, and the players deserve a lot of credit. They stayed healthy. They were socially responsible. They minded all the municipality rules and regulations so that when we did get the opportunity to train, everybody was healthy and everybody adhered to the guidelines.
I see the gears in Brody's head churning right now. So I know he's formulating a question for you, but what sure. I want to ask you right now, Coach, and looking at your goalkeeping book that you have, which frankly, I wish it had more pictures, but that's just my personal preference. It's a hell of a book, but
they're expensive. Those pictures, they're expensive.
can't just download those off of Shutterfly, I guess. Right? There's nothing in there about training in quadrants or in this situation. So my question to you is, where did you draw upon, what forms of creativity or what resources do you go by when there's no precedent for something like this? How do you set up a team training?
Right. So it's interesting. We had to have really basically two different plans, one for a goalkeeper and one for an outfield player. Mm. It was difficult. Like with a field player, it could be all individual technique, dribbling, receiving balls out of the air that you kick up. Like there's all dribbling through cones, passing into gates, different cutting techniques with the ball, inside, outside of your foot. It's very similar to what Ben and I and most recently Ben was accustomed to in a college off season, right, where you're limited with the amount of exposure you can have to your players. But you can meet with them on an individual basis. So Ben took some information that he used at Michigan State that we were able to apply to our program. And then I took stuff that we did in the off season in Major League Soccer on an individual basis. And together we combined those two references to put the players in a position where when they came, they got maximum touches on the ball. They built some fitness. They passed it. We worked on technical accuracy with their passing in the gates. So we wanted to make sure that they weren't coming out and it wasn't just like a form of soccer camp. That was actually a professional environment where they got better. And we were blessed that the guys really jumped in, took to it, and did a great job. And Ben was instrumental in making sure that we had all that information. And then from the goalkeeper standpoint, I had to create some different exercises that they could do on their own in that quadrant with the use of a table at times, to rebound it off of, different folding techniques they could do with a stationary ball, a bunch of footwork that replicated their movement and goal. So it was certainly challenging to put these sessions together, but we were just so grateful to be out there. Like Ben and I dove in, it was like, we hadn't coached in so long, and then they got that opportunity. We were like going through our notebooks of the past and like, oh, I got this one from, when I was in New York, or I got this one with Michigan State. So it really worked out. And then what we did too is we actually got a lot of feedback from the players, because we wanted to make sure we were hitting the mark. And we got some good feedback from the players, and we built in some fitness. So it was really, really a test to our experiences together, that we had some information, and the guys did a great job.
I love this whole, kind of formulaic thing. It feels like, we harken back to our high school days, in our very young days, where you had to bring your own ball and stuff to practice, and then all of a sudden you're mixing that with like this collegiate, from especially with Ben's collegiate days of how to work in those quadrants. That's really cool. And then mesh that with the pro level. I mean, it's a perfect storm, if you will, but you got a little throwback action happening.
When it sounds it sounds like something that perhaps could be taught at a symposium, it's almost like you created a new curriculum.
Right. I mean, I tell you what, like it did harken back like youth soccer days. Like guys were responsible for washing their own gear, bringing their gear home, their own water bottle, all in the name of safety.
Right.
And so that was interesting, because these guys since college have been turning their gear in, showing up, the gear's all laid out, right, and they go. We did all the touching of the cones and all the setting up of the goals. The players were not allowed to do any of that.
Did if anybody's a ball mom drop them off? That's all I need. Is there a minivan involved?
Exactly.
As Captain Mark Birch is in charge of the orange slices this week.
Yeah. But it was really interesting to see, the players enjoy getting back to that aspect of football.
Oh, I bet.
They really enjoyed it. Of course they wanted to do more and more, but they were very, very engaged in that individual moment. And I think you're right, Brody. I mean, it really mesh together three different phases of their development and our coaching experiences. So we were fortunate to have those experiences because it certainly helped.
You know, you mentioned, you know, taking new things in a new playbook. Has the return of like Bundesliga, has that kind of sparked a new form for you? Like, did you take note of anything that they maybe did or are doing their time off? And now that they're back, you're like, okay, clearly that isn't going to work, or that is going to work a lot better. Are you pulling anything from the Bundesliga now that they've returned?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we studied the Bundesliga very hard as a technical staff, because they were the first group to come back.
Right.
We noticed that the teams that had 3 weeks of preparation got off to a much better start, suffered less injuries than the teams that had 2 weeks of preparation.
Yeah.
We also noticed that the last 15 minutes of the Bundesliga games, even as even this past weekend, seemed to dip in terms of the quality of the game.
Right.
The game gets really stretched.
Yeah.
And that's clearly based on fitness. So we recognize that. And so what we've been trying to do with the players is increase their fitness, but increase their execution on the ball as well. Mm. So that, you know, the teams that will be successful, you know, one, will be able to remain healthy. Two, will, in those moments of transition, those last 15 minutes or so, are able to grab a grip of the game when they have to, keep the ball, keep possession, and kind of rest with the ball. So we've really studied that's a great question. We really studied the Bundesliga and continue to study it to make sure that we're taking the lessons that they have shown us and making sure that we can adapt correctly here in Memphis.
You know, we mentioned Mark Birch just a minute ago. Could you talk about him? Could you talk about Michael Reed and some of the veterans on the team? And have they helped you get the guys back out on the pitch reacclimated? I know you've got some young guys. You got the Loney, Hundley from Colorado Rapids. You got some other guys this is their first professional gig. Can you talk about what having some veteran players has possibly meant during this time?
It's meant everything. I cannot put enough emphasis on what Birch, Reed, Doyle, Jose, Keanu, with guys with mass experience, Zach Carroll as well, what they've done to keep the group together, to keep guys everybody was concerned about mental health. Reaching out to guys, making sure, you know, that they were taken care of, making sure they're, you know, if they're getting to the grocery store, they're doing it properly. Just all sorts of things that, you know, really it's best that it comes from them than the technical staff. And,
right.
You know, obviously Mark Birch, we think, is a fantastic captain, and it all starts with him. But, you know, the Baxters and Reeds and Doyles of the world, you know, they were teaching guys about cooking, you know, via Zoom. you know, really, we laugh, but it's important for some of these guys, right? You know, so that they keep their level of fitness up. You know, that they're eating properly and, right. You know, just like simple things, checking in with guys, you know, kind of having a cup of coffee over Zoom together. They did quite a bit. So that leadership that we were so desperate to have last year that we went out and sought in the offseason has paid dividends. And, you know, just them, you know, just yesterday when we had our first groups in larger numbers, you know, those guys were the guys reminding people to social distance. Those were the guys reminding guys to, you know, push through their fitness, to, you know, be uncomfortable with, you know, get used to being uncomfortable right now. And they're also the guys at the end of training that say, hey, look, now that we're back, good decisions away from us. You know, make sure, you know, we're staying home, we're wearing masks, we're, you know, doing all the things that we're encouraged to do to keep everybody safe. So I can't, those guys keeping the group together during those 2.5 months was extraordinary. And we were truly blessed that they did that. And the best part of it, as you guys know, being involved in sports, it happened organically. They just did it. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't ask them to do it. They just did it. And that's why I'm so thankful that we get to come back now, because I want this city to know these guys and watch them play, because it's really a special group.
I think it's probably a really important time that they come back right about now to it. And I want to hearken back to a previous podcast that we had a discussion in preseason. You were talking about how proud you were to be the coach of this team when seeing them in Orange Beach, the way that they associated with each other, that they were not sitting in the same cliques at lunchtime and at dinner time, that they were together and they were getting to know each other. And in this time of, you know, where social justice and social issues have come to the forefront, I would suspect you probably see some of the best in humanity in a lot of your guys and in this leadership and their camaraderie.
Yeah, I mean, I think our guys are very in tune to what's going on nationwide. They know that soccer is a multiracial sport, right. Probably the most in the world, right? So, you know, the beauty of sports, at least in the teams I've been around, is the camaraderie and the acceptance of players. Our group is no different in that. In fact, I'd say our group's a very close group. You know, we were very sensitive to what was going on. Tim Howard did a great job of leading our group in a Zoom call where, you know, guys got to speak up about, you know, their feelings on the matter, mm-hmm. What's important to them. How we want to represent ourselves when we do get back. And it was just fantastic. It gave guys a real good chance to speak, you know, about how they felt with everything going on. And, you know, we encouraged them to speak and they did. And, you know, Tim certainly led us through that. And it was really powerful. It was really, emotional too, as how caring the group is, not only for each other, but for the people in the city and the people across the country, and caring for, you know, people's rights and liberties.
The head coach of USL Championship side, Tim Mulqueen, joins us on the podcast today. And coach, as you're getting back into training, and I know you just got into some of the group training, has anybody warned the British guys about the summer heat and humidity? Jose may be a leader, but has, you know, and you know, I know Keanu and Jose have maybe experienced, you know, Wembley in April and May, but they ain't been in, you know, Memphis in the summertime.
They're like, it's hot right now.
Yeah. Well, so when we had these individual trainings, right. Like it, we had three different groups, one that started at 9, one that started at 10:30, and one that started at noon. Guys fought like the Dickens to get to Ben to not be in that noon group. You know, so that was kind of that, you know, I don't know if Ben made some side cash on the deal, but yeah. He should have.
Was there a pecking order? Like, no, you're
yeah,
a new
yeah, of course there a, is. Yeah. Of course there is. The veteran guys always get the first choice, you know, which meant that 9 o'clock slot was filled. But I mean, honestly,
the over 30s.
Yeah, exactly. Guys with real pale skin too. So right. They didn't have to put so much sunscreen on, but yeah. I think what we've really done is during that, they got a good taste of what the humidity and the heat can be here. We've really been putting a heavy emphasis on diet right now and hydration, because especially with those guys, they're burning excess calories now that they're not used to, so their calorie intake has to increase after trainings. And obviously to keep away from muscle injuries and to stay you know, at peak performance, you have to hydrate all the time in this weather. So the guys have been that. But yeah, I think the first couple of days when we got back to that individual training, and there was like, you can't hide in that quadrant. It's just you. And, you know, guys were breathing a little heavy, you know, so it was good. It was good. But yeah. I think they have a good appreciation of what it's going to look like.
Good. I want to ask you about some things on the psychological side, Mulch. Of course, we've had a grand total of one game, and now everybody's coming back. And we suspect, I mean, again, we don't know what the exact start date and how everything's going to look. But psychologically, I would suspect for the guys that were maybe 11 through 20 on your roster on opening night, I would suspect there's an opportunity for you to tell these guys, hey, this is a fresh start. There are no preconceived notions walking in. I need my guys that can, I need the horses that can run with me when we go back to be ready. Can you be one of those guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think even leading into that first game, we knew that depth in the squad was going to be a real advantage for us as the season went on, especially in those hot summer months, as we just discussed. But now coming back, you know, not knowing what it's going to look like, you know, it could be multiple games in a week. Right. It could be consecutive weekends with no break in between. You're going to need a full roster. So we made it a point, you know, even in that break period, and certainly as we got closer to these individual and now group trainings, to make sure that guys knew that, you know, the teams that are going to come out of this and do well are the teams that can count on guys 1 through 21. Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure that, you know, every guy can put their hand up and be ready to go. And I think that's the strength of our team, is that on any given moment, you know, we can put someone out there and know that the level's not dipping, the quality's going to be high. But yeah, I mean, everybody psychologically is ready to go. Like they know that they're going to be called upon, and they're excited for it. I think everybody's going to get a chance to contribute to our success. And, you know, I think we're good enough to have that as well. So, again, it goes to the work in the off season we did to build the roster to have that. And I think if you look at the successful teams, Louisville going to three straight finals, you know, they've done it with, you know, being able to rotate a fresh squad as often as possible. And that's a huge advantage.
Well, you know, and you've got guys who also maybe came off of an injury last season or something like that. They've had this now game, but then extended. Thankfully, we didn't have anybody injured in the first game. But maybe, like, how is Tristan Hodge doing? How is Raul Gonzalez doing? I'm excited to see those guys, obviously, for, you know, for the city reasons, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just to report on Raul, he's flying. We had a fitness competition. He won that.
Wow, nice.
Which you're not surprised if you know Raul, like the guy's like, you know, even though he's had ACL surgery, you could wake him up at 3 a.m. and he can run, you know, 2 sub-6-minute miles for the Cooper test. The guy's a machine. Right. So, you know, he won that part. Really pleased with him. Really excited that he's back. And then Tristan, you know, is getting closer and closer to, you know, full competition. He's made great strides. This break was actually good in the fact that he didn't miss games.
Right.
He's able to train now, and we're building on his fitness, and just want to make sure that we don't overdo it. What happens sometimes with those guys coming back from ACL is they want to get it all back at one time, right, and they end up suffering a quad or a hamstring or something like that. So we've had to, you know, just make sure that we're, you know, bridle the horse a little bit, and make sure that he comes up. You know, Angie does a great job of monitoring that for us. Sure. But he's looked very good in the individual workouts and the group workout. So yeah, we're excited to have both those guys back. I think for the fans, they're gonna really appreciate seeing those two guys back on the pitch again.
Raul Gonzalez, man, he was our hero when it came to the, you know, the fake match.
Yeah, no.
He was our Jerry Lawler.
He was our Jerry Lawler.
He was the star of that night, that's for sure.
Wow.
You know? But I tell you, in a quick note about Raul, like this guy, you know, was having a super preseason last year.
Yeah.
Tears his ACL, and I tell you what, the guy attacked that injury, you know, like I haven't seen before. I mean, you know, he was close to coming back by the end of last year.
Right.
You know, but it that's really too fast, so we slowed it down a bit. But big credit to him for all he's done to get himself back, and Tristan too. Yeah. I mean, Tristan is less than a year out now, and he's done really well for himself. So and Tristan's never had an injury, so it was a shock to him. So I'm really proud of both those young men for what they've done.
Coach, how are you doing? You know, we talk about the players, and you're always talking about the players. Let's talk about you for a moment, because not only do players have dreams, but you have dreams too. I know playoffs are a big thing for you, championships, and, you know, being a terrific head coach, and with this shutdown, you've kind of been stuck in neutral. How are you doing now with this restart?
It's like Christmas, you know, like I was saying the other day, like you circled July 11th or somewhere thereabouts that you could come back. And now, you know, you got to be a good boy and girl every day to get ready for that prize, you know, yeah, at the end. So, you know, it's been uplifting to my spirits, of course.
Awesome.
You know, besides coaching this group, I like being around them. So I certainly missed that part, the interaction, you know, the bonding that we do. You know, it's been difficult in the way that, you know, my family, my wife and daughter are still in Florida. And with the virus, we didn't want to travel. So I've missed them terribly. But having my son here is fantastic. You know, we've grown closer. But, you know, to have the group back and, you know, to be doing this with my best friend, Tim Howard, makes it even easier. So I'm doing great. I'm excited for the group. I mean, I think last night when I got home, I was exhausted. Like, I don't think I've talked that much or walked that much on the field. Or I think the adrenaline just whooped me by the end of the day. So I really appreciate you asking. But, yeah, we're doing great here, the Mole Queens. And my daughter was accepted to the University of Tennessee.
Yay!
So,
all right.
Yeah. We're real excited about that. So she'll be starting there in the fall, which means everybody will be up here in the Memphis area. So
awesome.
We're excited, and I really appreciate you guys asking. And certainly being a part of this great club and this great city really helped me get through all this. You know, I love who I work for. I love the guys I coach, and the city is just phenomenal.
I guess maybe the most important question of all of this mulch is, before Brody and I pre-ordered the movie, which we know that the rights have been bought to the Tim Howard story, who plays Tim Mulqueen in the movie?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Tim and I were talking about that a little bit yesterday. You know, I think George Clooney's a bit of a stretch, you know. But, it's funny because if it's going to be a young Tim Mulqueen, then, you know, look, he's going to have to be able to rock a mullet, you know, from back in the late 80s and early 90s when I had Tim, you know. Right. So it's going to be interesting. But, that, you know, that's a fantastic situation for Tim and all of us who know him. It's a fantastic story. I'm sure it's going to inspire millions of people because it's truly an all-American story for sure.
Amazon's picked it up, so I mean they're flying. They're gonna,
yeah,
Amazon,
yeah,
rip so, roars, man.
Yeah, damn right they do. So yeah, we were joking with Tim yesterday about it. You know, a group of guys that we all grew up with. You know, God forbid we get on a red carpet, that could be ugly. So
Connery play Sir Alex?
Yeah, that's not a bad call, actually. I'll have to pass that on. That's a good shout.
I'm thinking like a Jason Statham for Coach Mulqueen.
You know? Oh, I would like that. The only thing I would request is, and I don't know how we could fit into the movie, I would like a Jason Statham, but I would like, you know, like in all those films with the heat, like that, where something blows up behind me and I have that slow motion walk, you know, that every like badass guy has. So I don't know how we can fit that in the goalkeeper training. But
the
I'm
goal
gonna try
explodes
to see if I can get that pass through.
Like somebody, a smoke bomb doesn't quite go off right and the empty stands
kind
of explode.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
It's gotta be authentic like jersey. Authentic jersey.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like you see Denzel Washington in all those movies when something blows up walking that real cool strut, you know? Something like that.
Mullet blowing in the wind.
Yeah, the mullet breezing in the wind. Yeah.
Tim, we wish you all the best. Thank you for taking time with us and sharing your story. I know this has been a unique journey, not just for the players, but for Ben and Angie and James and you and the ownership group. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. And we cannot wait to see you back on the touchline in the matches here in the weeks to come. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, you know, keeping everybody informed during this time, for checking in on all of us. And, you know, obviously you two are special to our program. So just thankful that we have you guys. And thanks for having me on.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so we don't worry about getting sued for using music without permission, and we know for sure that the artists who made it, well, they're getting paid, and that's always a great thing. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines. We used to have to piecemeal all that stuff, and it took hours. Believe me, it took hours. It cost hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts to really get the podcast to you. Well, that's all changed with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive. You're going to scratch your head, and you may even have to scratch your ears when you hear this. It's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
I think we got played a few minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah, I Googled Tim Mulqueen Rutgers.
Yeah?
Just to see.
The mullet?
I'm looking. He mentions the mullet, and I was like, I got to see this. I got to find this.
I want him to have a mullet so bad, and I'm trying to picture it.
I can't. I'm looking. I don't.
He's got to have a picture, though. He's got to have a picture of him rocking a mullet. I mean, it was the 80s, and he's Mole Queen. He was a rad dude then. He's a rad dude now. He's a rad dude then. Come on.
He coached Rutgers, I think it was from like 88 to 94. So that was about the time, if there was a Mole Queen mullet.
Yes, that's the pinnacle mullet time.
Now, I think he's just winding us up and having some fun, which is fine.
Sure. And it was a very revealing discussion there.
Trevor, it's Tim's son. Trevor, if you're listening to this,
send us a picture, please.
My3subspodcast@gmail.com.
Come on, man.
I think either he's kidding or he has done such a great job of scrubbing the internet.
Google.
Well, he's smart. He's smart enough to be able to scrub.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. And he knows a lot of people. So,
yeah.
You know, he could just say, hey, listen, take that. Get that out of here.
I don't know, man.
Trying to find a mullet.
Well, and I'm looking for this. I put Tim Mole Queen Rutgers, Tim Mole Queen St. Joseph.
Tim Mole Queen mullet. Tim Mole Queen mullet.
And half of these show up Tim Howard pictures. I mean, they're such best friends that when you Google one, the other shows up.
Pops up.
It's like tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Well, if you've got one, my3subspodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to take him at his word that there is one.
There's got to be.
But I am a little suspicious.
There's got to be one. I'm hoping there's one.
But on a very serious note, I could not be happier for him right now. I know he wants more than anything for this team to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw promise in the first match.
Oh, yeah.
And then the brakes got slammed on.
Yeah.
But I think also during this break, he probably learned more about the character of his team. He's got a bunch of good guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a hell of a team, and I think, you know, the break could go one of two ways. You could either take it as a negative, or you could take it as a positive. And one thing that I think we've noticed from Ben Pearman to Angie, the training staff, and then now even coach, and this is firsthand stuff, is how they have taken advantage of this situation.
I think if they come out with a successful start, and I think with the leadership that they've got, there's every chance that they're going to come out and look great.
Yeah.
But if this works out, I could see where, and I kind of said it half flippantly, but I was serious about it, that it sounds like they've created their own curriculum, which they could probably present at a coaches association convention or something like that, where they've pieced it all together and made it their own from Ben's experience and from Tim's experience.
You've taken that amalgamation of the high school bring your own ball to collegiate level of, you know, you can't touch or talk to anybody for X amount of weeks because you're going to NCAA violation XYZ. And then this pro, you know, met with pro level kind of, you know, fortitude and stuff. I mean, you know, you're onto something.
Yeah. But I mean, all we know at this point, just to recap, the league has said right around July 11th, that's when things are looking to get started. We don't know.
After that?
Nobody knows the number of games, where it's going to be played,
even though how it's going to be played.
Because you've got... Oh, and that's another thing, because we've seen that in St. Petersburg, I guess, in the newspaper. There was some speculation. Yeah. We're not going to go into that because that has not been confirmed.
It's not been confirmed.
And we've checked with some folks. It's not been confirmed with anybody. So we're going to wait and... Here are the official news.
As of right now, as of the recording, nothing official.
No.
Now that could change by the time we leave out of here, in which case, you can follow us.
Yep.
We will tweet it out. We will post it on social media. We are at My3SubsPodcast
Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter. And then My3SubsSoccerPod on Instagram.
Yep. And then you can email us at My3SubsPodcast@gmail.com. Attach any Mole Queen...
that mullet.
Mullet pictures.
You gotta have a mullet.
Somebody's
gotta have one.
I think he was serious.
Somebody up in Jersey's got a picture of Coach Mulch with the mullet.
Oh, his son has got to have seen that.
It's gotta be hanging up in the house somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they moved a couple times, sure, but still.
Yeah.
Wedding photo? That'd be so funny.
By the way, we could probably use your suggestions, too. Who should play Mole Queen in the Tim Howard movie Amazon's bought the rights to?
Yeah, that's a good one. Because you know they're going to make it in a couple weeks.
And he's got to be in there, right?
Come on. You can't not have him. They're best friends.
Again, Sean Connery. I think that's a good pick for Sir Alex.
A shockable.
Here's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey,